Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, Theanos, presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. Before or after the game at Comerica, or even just a night out in the D, stop by Moots Pizzeria for a slice, drink, or a whole pie. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm really happy to be joined by my main man, he of the wilderness, returning from the great north. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you?
Good. Feeling like a regular Paul Bunyan. I'm considering getting a blue ox.
You have most of the beard going. I mean, you practically are a youper at this point.
You know, when they closed the bridge, I was a little concerned about being stuck up there, you know, so I started collecting some old pickups and starting, you know, try to talk with a funny accent. And here we are. They did open the bridge. It was only closed for about an hour. But can you imagine being stuck in Mackinac City or St. Ignace? Mackinac City would be OK, I suppose. But
yeah,
then you're at least in the Lower Peninsula. I got to tell you. Having experienced both peninsulas, the lower is still better.
It's almost like that's why most people live here.
This is where the action is. The big buildings, it's amazing.
So Whitney and I were actually discussing this. You know, we took the UP when we lost the war with Ohio, and they got Toledo. Do you think we won that deal?
What I mean, I wonder what the population difference is. I mean, the UP still has more populations than what would be the Toledo Strip, but probably not by a ton. Like Marquette's a pretty big city, I suppose, but otherwise it's pretty sparse, friend.
So that's how you're measuring.
That's the only
by people.
People are rather important, don't you think? I mean, the wilderness is fine, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, Toledo has both the mud hens and the zoo. I feel like maybe we came out a little bit behind there.
There is. The Upper Peninsula does have much natural beauty, right? I mean, there's the pictured rocks and the Porcupine Mountains. But I have to tell you, the Upper Peninsula also has a lot of trash land. Like it's swamp or some woods that burn down. It's just a big, ugly swamp.
Well, fire like, is nature's rejuvenation.
It's certainly in need of rejuvenation because it doesn't look like much. I got to tell you that.
So I'm assuming your UP trip was not all that great, or was it just the scenery that you're fed up with?
Well, just everybody's like, oh, the beauty of nature in the Upper Peninsula while you're in the wilderness. Well, like, yeah, like if you go to some kind of cool place, but a lot of it in the middle is just, you know, kind of not that pretty.
Did you go to see the bears?
No, we didn't see the bears.
Did you see any bears?
Camp. No, no.
Wow.
No bears.
That sounds like an empty trip. Did you come across the Michigan Dog Man?
The Michigan. Tell me more.
It's the Dog Man. He lives in the UP. How much more can I? How much more direct can
man,
I?
Man, dog, Michigan. That's the three things that it is. No, I've never even heard of this.
Really? All right. Well,
I don't get out much.
I had a whole thing to go with that, but I'll just scrap that and wait till next year. want to send
I'll look
a special,
harder next time.
Yeah. Thank you. Want to send a special shout out to our buddy, Roger Castillo. He met me at Moot's Pizzeria and Bar on last Friday, Thursday, something like that. While somebody escaped his duties to go up north. Enjoyed having
I listened
him on
to the episode. I listened to the episode between Mackinac City and Grayling. So.
Yeah, well, glad we pacified time for somebody. But anyway, Raj had his gallbladder removed this week when he was at a Whitecaps game. He was at a Whitecaps game when the whole thing started. So anyway, wishing him a speedy recovery. Good dude. Really enjoyed talking to him. One of my favorites on Tiger's Twitter.
Yep, it was great. Great episode. It was good to hear about draft and prospects and all kinds of former pit spitters, I believe you talked to. It's really getting into the weeds. I mean, it's a little bit of that, but that's good. I'm glad.
I'm not too awfully concerned about taking people into the weeds when it's pit spitters related. So it is what it is. You chose to listen to the show. So starting this week has been the Olympics. Have you had the chance to watch any?
So yes, but you know, I find the dynamic fascinating because I'm going to stereotype a lot. Okay, so just buckle your seatbelt. We're going to make a lot of generalizations. As the man in the house, I like to watch the sports typically. I have the Tigers game on, the Bucks games, Tampa Bay Bucks games, in football season. And I kind of orient my day around that. Now it's Olympics and my spouse is orienting her evenings and like looking ahead to like what's on the docket for the sports.
Wow, good for her.
Like, to me, it's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, whatever's on, it's going to be one of 1,000 swimming heats and some American's going to win a medal and big whoop-de-doo. And it's kind of like, you know, okay, they're back and forth in a pool.
Teddy Roosevelt's how rolling over in his grave at you saying some American's going to win a medal. Yeah.
Well, they are. It's always like this foregone conclusion that, because they're not going to put it on TV unless an American is kicking butt in it because we're all nationalists or whatever, but if it's on, okay, I'm taking it in, but I'm not big on, you know, the popular American sports. Give me the niche stuff, even if there's no Americans. Like, give me the shooting and the badminton and the taekwondo. But Mrs. Wayne is orienting her night around, well, where's Simone Biles or where's Katie Ledecky? And I'm like, who cares? And now I get a taste of my own medicine.
That's good. It's probably good for you. Did you see that there was a Filipino fellow that won the first gold in Filipino history? I think it was.
Did you feel a real kindred spirit?
I did. It made me think that like, had I trained and gotten there, I could have been the first. But this fella, I say fella, it very well could have been a woman. I can't remember. I didn't look that closely into it.
I'm glad you're really invested in it.
So anyway, that's good for my homeland. I feel like the question's been going around Twitter, and I gotta get your opinion. Do you think there are any events that had you trained from a young age that you could have meddled in?
There was a 58-year-old Kuwaiti man who won the bronze medal in skeet shooting. Now, 58-year-olds can be pretty fit and athletic yet, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, you're 58. Still, you tell me.
Yeah, I'm a stallion, a picture of health. But I feel like the skeet shooting or maybe archery, that would be the place to go, right?
Yeah, definitely. Something stationary. I'm not saying it doesn't take a lot of skill, because it obviously does.
But oh, of
it's
course.
It's more precision as opposed to it's hitting corners as opposed to blowing it by someone.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely. The one event that I love, not necessarily one that I could do, is the steeplechase. It's like you go around the circle and there's a bunch of like random crap thrown in the middle of the track. I absolutely love it.
Like little water pits. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you go through the water. Like, why is there water on the track? No one knows. It's the steeplechase. I would actually like to see more random crap thrown onto, you know, the tubes that the dogs have to run through. Throw a couple of those on there. I think that would be awesome.
Obstacle course.
Yeah.
They used to have tug of war in the Olympics. Why not obstacle course?
For real.
Ninja Warrior. Let's step it up. That's speaking of the steeplechase, though, West Michigan has a local hero, Brian Deemer, I think, was from West Michigan. Actually, is the Kelvin University's track coach, or was, or still is, but he won his medal in the steeplechase.
Interesting. This Olympics?
No, this was a while
ago. Oh, gotcha. I was gonna say thanks for the spoilers.
No, this is like 20 years ago. Gotcha. But I mean, for West Michigan, well, that's still a big deal, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So anyway, if you want to tweet along with me, I'm sure I'll be watching both the men's and the women's steeplechase.
Of course you will.
Obviously.
How do you balance your Tigers in your Olympics?
I got two screens. I typically it's watch true. The Tigers on my, what would you like, my Xbox TV. I watch it through my Xbox. And then whatever's on
you are a man TV of culture.
Fine. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Smart. If you want to get in touch with us, we are on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Hosted by Jay Hall, and Eric is at Eric Swain Brain, and on Facebook and Instagram at Podcastianos. The show is sponsored by Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the Motor City's only authentic New York pizzeria, and it's become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. Among the best that they have to offer are favorites like the Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, the Gemelli Pasta, the Chocolate Lava Cake, and they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. I had the, I think it was called the Bee Sting. It was a Nashville Hot Honey on top of a pepperoni pizza with basil. It was genuinely one of the best pizzas I've ever had in my entire life.
I could go for that. Sounds a little bougie. That's what I need.
Yeah, Witt's not a big fan of like sweet and meat on the same pizza, so that would never be something that she was into. But they have like kind of the personal pan pizzas there, which, to be fair, I don't know if they're actually supposed to be personal pan or if I just eat a lot. But it's a one sitting type deal. So anyway, it was nice that I was able to grab that, and we both got what we wanted. Stop in with friends for a few pies or grab an authentic slice from their slice counter, which is what Roger did the first time I sent him there accidentally, because I told it seemed like I told him to go
you
there.
Tell him the wrong day.
One Friday earlier than when we were actually supposed
Are
to
Are you
be
serious?
There. Fortunately, he didn't live like super far away, so it wasn't like I sent you there, but
I appreciate that.
That's that one's on me. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order, and don't forget they offer 2-hour validation in the Z lot. Tell them that Jordan and Eric sent you, which is, of course, us.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
So, Eric, recent hiccup aside, it's been another couple exciting weeks to be a Tigers fan. I feel like it's been quite a while since I've had that like overwhelming sense of dread about what's going to happen when you turn on the TV like you used to.
I feel personally responsible for this because right before the All-Star break, we lost 4 games in a row. Then I evacuated the peninsula, stopped having regular internet access, and the exact window when they were gone, they rattled off 7 wins. So I hate to make this all about me.
I was going to say, that sounds more like hubris to me, but, you know, to each their own.
A lot of narcissism. But that was an exciting stretch in winning, but in a few games winning by a lot.
29 runs in the 4-game series against Texas. How long has it been since we've done that?
That's incredible. The longest win streak since what, 16 or something like that, I think it was.
That's like a whole other era.
Why are we so streaky? 4 straight losses, 7 straight wins, 4 straight losses. I mean,
I'll say the obvious answer is that it's such a young team. It's just growing pains, right? I mean, clearly, like you say, you have your competition up and down. But part of what's made the Tigers so good recently has been like the aggressive base running, some of the big exciting hits. Like, there is a downside on occasion to aggressive base running. And, you know, we've seen that come home to roost a couple times recently. And when the big hits don't come, like, I don't know. I feel like we've been living so much on adrenaline, right, in the last couple weeks that, you know, there are times when that's not going to necessarily carry you, especially with a young team like that. But by and large, like, it's definitely what I'm trying to get this saying right. 2 steps forward to only 1 step back, whereas for a long time, it felt like that was switched.
Well, I think you're right. I also attribute it to the starting pitching.
That's also, you know, fair.
We have 3 young stalwarts, I would say, who are going to be around for a while, and sometimes they'll click. But then we're piecing together with guys like Alexander and Peralta. Even during the
say correctly, 2021 AL Cy Young Award winner Willie Peralta.
Of course.
Give the man his due.
But it just felt like even during the 7-game win streak, like, how are we doing this? We're kind of piecing together the starting rotation with three guys who are really too young to be consistent and some odds and ends. And we got a little lucky. I don't think we're the team that won 7 in a row, honestly.
So it's really interesting. You say, you talk about piecing things together. On the show for many years, we've said that we have bits and pieces that can be put together to do better things than what they could in a traditional role. You've seen Casey, Scooble, Manning go a little bit shorter, then longer outings out of the bullpen. Right. Guys like Alexander start and then get into guys in the middle. Like, I don't know if it's out of necessity or out of strategy, but he is using the pitching staff in a very modern and honestly very effective way. And yeah. I think you can probably put it down more to necessity, but I choose to give AJ the credit and say that he's doing this because this is a strategy. He's taken what he's got and he's mashing it all together and throwing it out, and it's better than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
And you know, clearly Fetter is also involved, so that is obviously the way that I'm going to lean.
It's a little bit of chopped or cutthroat kitchen where you need to make a dish with the odds and ends that you have or on the theme that you have. And I think Hinch has done an exceptional job.
Yeah, it seems that he's much better at it than previous regimes. So here's a thought that I've had. It seems like over the last, I don't know, maybe even couple of weeks, there's been a weird sense of optimism amongst the fan base, or at least it seems like online, because that's, I mean, I live in Indiana. I don't have any Tigers friends to talk to. Like, for years, it's just been 100% everything sucks. Like, anything we can complain about, we can and we will. And all of a sudden, it just seems a little bit different. Like, the mood has lifted. Like, people are starting to give certain guys the benefit of the doubt. And partially that's because guys are being put into positions to succeed, and others are just, we have better and more fun players. But have you noticed kind of a little bit of a mood change?
Yeah. I mean, a 7-game win streak will do that for you. I mean, it's amazing how a few wins will raise your esteem and self-esteem a little bit.
Very true. But
I think,
go ahead.
I think it's a little bit like the Pistons. The Pistons were horrible last year, were they not? Well, how are Pistons fans feeling about the Pistons right now?
They're feeling through the roof. Yeah.
Yeah. They're feeling thrilled. I mean, Pistons haven't done anything. They're worse than they were when they had, what's the guy who got traded to the Nets?
Blake Griffin.
They're worse than, can't come up with Blake Griffin. They're a lot worse than they were when they had Blake Griffin, but now they feel great. I think it's because they're in a position, they had some pieces to dream on, and they're laying a foundation for future success. And I think that's what the Tigers are doing. There's some pieces to dream on. Akil Baddoo has been extremely fun. Manning, Mize, and Scooble are showing you little glimpses into the future. Those are things to be excited about. And we still have some capacity to add free agents. The free agents that we got, Robbie Grossman has been very good and very serviceable. Eric Haas has broken through. We finally found a couple bullpen pieces. Like, there's some components that you could imagine, you can dream on. And we are better than we have been. Just wins and losses, we're better than we have been in the last couple of years.
Indisputable fact. Definitely. Like you say, I think that there are pieces to dream on. I feel like even the Jackson Jobe thing, like when they drafted him, the initial reaction was like, wow, that dude's a moron. Speaking of Avila, of course. And right. Then within 24 hours, it kind of had spun completely back the other way. Like, maybe this was the right play. Like, I don't know. There's just a rationality to the internet right now that I didn't think that we'd ever see, which
you and Roger talked about it. I mean, if the numbers and the computers and the analysis lead you to take Job over the more established, proven Meyer, if that's what the analyses are telling you and they do it, you can't be bent about that, right? I mean, this is the more sophisticated modern approach, spin rate. They're analyzing that and everybody's got a Rapsodo and they're telling you that, well, this is the guy with the highest upside and promise. Okay. You're going to be sophisticated. You want sophistication, Tigers fans? Well, you got to roll with that. You can't just, you know, take the college senior. So I think fans are starting, not so much with Avila, but some other parts of the organization, they're starting to give the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
I think that's because they see AJ Hinch as having fingers in every pie, whereas I don't know that he actually. Yeah. I don't know that he has. Yeah, like personnel, all that kind of stuff. I completely agree. But yeah, I think that he has given such a calm to the fans' perception of the organization, maybe even more so than he actually has on the organization itself.
Sure,
but I mean, still for our, you know, Tigers watching experience, that's a good thing. I do want to go back to Jackson Jobe real quick. I talked about this with Roger on last week's show, but I don't want to miss it. But he was a high school pitcher that throws upper 90s and has a devastating breaking ball and still took the time to develop a changeup. I feel like that tells you everything you need to know about his mindset. Like he wasn't, I'm sure he just mowed guys down throwing 99 miles an hour with a devastating curveball. Like that's enough. And he was like, nope, that's not enough. Going to learn how to throw the changeup, add that to the arsenal. As a guy who is so young and so new to pitching, I don't know. Like he seems like the profile of a player that I would get super excited about. And hopefully we all will too. Seems like a good kid too.
So I don't watch or analyze amateur baseball much at all. So I'll rely on the scouts, but I did see a breakdown where if you take his scouting reports, Jackson Jobe's, and you take them, the consensus scouting reports at relatively face value, those reports are comparable only to Steven Strasburg in the recent past. And you remember how much hype and energy
an
Strasburg
unbelievable amount. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Where Jobe doesn't have that kind of hype, but just by the pure consensus scouting reports, it's that level of projected excellence.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm in. And also he's gonna have Fetter working with him, not whoever Strasburg has. So I mean clearly it's gonna be at least 20-25% better. All right, you've waited long enough. Let's get to your boy. Akil Badu just continues to, as I'm sure you would say, Badu it. Is your boy getting enough love?
I think he's not. I mean, nationally, I mean, they had this graphic out the other day that had Mize and a couple other players, and everybody was clamoring, like, well, where's Akil? He's leading in several key statistical categories. He is, okay, the spark plug metaphor is overplayed. It really is. But there's something to his presence on this team. Maybe it's just from a fan's perspective, but it's a bit energizing.
Yeah, is it not? I don't think it is overblown. Like the way his style of play is getting things going. He seems to have that personality. I mean, there's only so much you can read into what you see from a guy down on the field as you're watching from, you know, Northern Indiana. But I don't know. I don't know that it necessarily is. He is the spark plug of that team. People seem to feed off him. But I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Who does he have the potential to be the best Rule 5 draft pick ever?
I think he might already be the best Rule 5 draft pick ever.
Who? There's one or two other big names.
I mean, we had determined that Victor at the start of this year that Victor Reyes was the best Rule 5 pick ever. I mean,
can get a contributor, that's a win.
Yeah.
To have a Rookie of the Year candidate is stunning.
Yeah, he's fifth in the betting odds right now. Behind him in the top 10 are both Mize and Eric Haas. We have three top 10 AL Rookie of the Year candidates. How awesome is that?
Haas to me is a little long in the tooth.
My man's got like 16 or 17 home runs in his first go around. I mean, yeah, he's old, but it is what it is.
Yeah, he's too old. Like he's been around for parts of like three or four big league seasons, hasn't he?
I mean, I'd be lying if I told you anything definite on that one. Feels like he has been. Let's get back to Akil. I like Eric Haas, okay. By the way. I saw him hit one of the furthest home runs I've ever seen hit in my entire life in spring training down at Joker Martian a couple years ago. I had to look in my, well, I was going to say my program, let's be honest. I looked on my phone. Who is this dude? It was just an absolute bomb off the top of the batter's eye. I'm like, interesting. And then, you know, we didn't hear from him again for 2 years until now, but I don't know. I like the dude. Haas made his
major league debut in 2018 when he was 25. He played in 2019 as well for Cleveland. He played in 2020 for Detroit, and now it's 2021.
Well, so, 2020 is a write-off, so it's only been 3 years if you look at it in COVID.
Sure. His first year, he had 17 plate appearances. 2019 is 17. I guess I'm just saying he doesn't feel like a traditional rookie to me. He's a 28-year-old rookie, which is weird to me.
Well, that's why he's 10th in the voting or in the betting odds. Nice things about Akil. He's second on the team in OPS and third on the team in walks, despite not even qualifying like for the batting title or anything. So that is impressive. He is, like you say, he might be one of the best Rule 5 picks of all time. And we were all saying, who? When he picked it?
To me, the walks is the most impressive because he started out being real patient and then he had that real slump. And, you know, typically we say, you know, guys have a certain propensity at the plate. They're not going to walk, but he kind of found it back. He found some better plate approach and patience, and he's taken a few walks, which I think is impressive. And if he can continue that aspect of his game, that'll play, kid.
For sure. That'll definitely play. Yeah. Running a little bit long, so let's kind of jump through these. Jonathan Scope, we discussed whether he was going to get traded a couple weeks ago. The trade deadline is Friday. How are you feeling at this moment?
It's like selling anything else you have. What price are you going to get? You know, obviously, if somebody overwhelms them with a prospect package, you won't be able to turn it down. But I wouldn't be too hasty getting rid of Scope. And I'm seeing a little more energy about extending.
I would be fine. I think with you that. Should. I think that this is an aberration of a year. Like he's been fine the last couple of years. He hasn't been this good. But he is doing something right now and he's contributing to the overall feeling on the team. I feel pretty confident saying that, even though we're not in the clubhouse. I don't want to disrupt that unless we're getting somebody, a prospect that's worth it, essentially. Like there are such good feelings going on right now when it's been forever since we've had those. Like, I don't know. Don't give me a hard throwing, you know, right-handed reliever from single A for him. I would want something substantial to screw with that.
How do you feel about an extension? So let's say we give him a 2-year extension for a reasonable dollar figure. Does that clog the infield and the people that we have coming up?
No. Who is coming up? I mean, seriously, no, it doesn't.
Paredes. I mean, you're not.
He's not exactly forced himself into the lineup. I mean, I don't know. And Scope will
your boy Willie. Is your boy Willie better now or not?
I mean, he's certainly looking better. I'm not gonna say that he is. He's fixed, but. If only he were a pitcher, Fetter would have had him fixed by now. Let's be honest.
But I'm saying, okay, a year, even 2 years with Scope, you're probably not blocking anybody. He's flexible enough. Yeah, you know, you can play second or first. And he should take a reasonable rate because, I mean, even with his good numbers, is he going to get a 2-year deal next year easily?
Yeah, he's not super young. Like there's nobody that's going to try and lock him up long term. He seems to like it in Detroit.
He's 29.
Yeah, I mean, which is just shocking that when I look at him and watch him hit, I'm like, oh, that dude is so old. He's 3 years younger than me. It's very problematic. I don't love that for a second. I'd be good with that.
It's because you wear a flat brimmed hat, you know, and you feel
every day of his life he wears one.
Oh, I got to tell you this. I don't know if you can post this on the social media.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw on the news there was a man missing in West Michigan, and it looked like you. I thought popped up. I thought it. I saw the local news. I'm like, Jordan, are you okay? And it wasn't you, but it had big Jordan energy. I'll tell you that. The only problem.
Nobody's
gonna get that. We'll have to post the picture.
We'll post it. Homeboy was out and about at like 2:30 a.m. I can't remember the last time I was even awake past midnight, let alone outside my house. So
that's sleepy time.
It is 100% sleepy time. All right. You want to talk Turnbull going to the or getting Tommy John or the Cleveland Guardians? Your choice.
Let's talk. Okay. We'll talk both. First, it's sad that Turnbull needs Tommy John.
Yeah, pretty That's much.
Sad. It'd be nice if he didn't have to do that, but I guess we'll be patient. Let's talk about the Guardians. Do you like the name?
I don't like the name. I don't hate the like logo and font.
It's like Art Deco. Yeah, get some culture in your life.
I don't know exactly the relevance, Artistic. But spiders was right there. That would have been a lot cooler, I think.
I like spiders a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although it's not my team, so name it something dumb. I don't care.
That's true. Also, Cleveland fans are known for letting go of old names on things that have been renamed. So clearly they'll take to the Guardians real quickly.
I don't think the Guardians is bad. I think it's fairly neutral, pedestrian. I get it goes with the Art Deco statues that are right on the Cuyahoga River and on the bridge. It represents something that has some connection to it. But there's a few people who say, oh, that's a ridiculous, it doesn't really mean enough or mean anything. And that's the dumbest name in baseball. And then somebody else posted like, there's two teams that are named after socks. Joe for the Athletic. I forget his last name. But he made an excellent point. The grandeur, the essence of the name, the spectacularness of the name isn't from the just the name itself. It's everything associated. It's the aura, it's the tradition. The Red Sox is a dumb name, but it feels like something to us because it's tied with so many things. You would never name a baseball team the Yankees today. You would never do it. The Lakers in Los Angeles doesn't make any sense. The Jazz in Utah, pick your favorite name. The Cincinnati Reds, it's a color. It doesn't mean anything that exciting. It's valuable because of the nostalgia, the connection to it. And Guardians will just take some time, like the Indians named it.
There's no name in sports that if you change it right now, whatever you change it to is going to carry on that same cachet. Like
there's no history.
It's impossible. Yeah.
Now the Guardians win a World Series and all of a sudden people are going to be like, oh yeah, that's the Guardians. I would never change that. That's special to me now. That's just how team names work. We're the Tigers. The Tigers is like the most generic high school name ever. It means something to us because it's been around forever.
Yeah. Jungle Cats.
Indeed.
All right.
Do you know that people in like Southeast Asia wear masks on the back of their heads so the Tigers don't attack them?
I did not know that. That's interesting. We should start doing that at Tigers games.
That's a good idea. Backwards face.
Make sure Buck Farmer and Michael Fulmer aren't attacking us from behind.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting because
that is interesting.
I don't want to get attacked by a jungle cat.
Who does?
All right. What else do you got for the people, Jordan?
Power rankings.
Is it time? Ugh, a little rusty. A stretch here. Power rankings. The Olympics has been on, and I mentioned this before, there's kind of these niche sports, kind of interesting. Well, they're niche to us, but around the world, like these sports are important. Taekwondo and judo, for instance, are huge. Most people in the world live in Southeast Asia where those sports are important. And another sport that's important in that part of the world is badminton. Badminton. You got to get the N. It's badminton.
I don't think you do have to get the N. I think that's what this country's been proven for many years. You do not have to say things correctly.
That may be true. But we in America consider badminton a backyard sport, mm-hmm. right? You got the racket, you got some cheap old net that you set up in the backyard. You're whacking it back and forth. Badman, and I got to tell you, at the family gathering that I was at in the Upper Peninsula, we had this tournament. And I got to tell you, there's like 50 family members there, and we had a little tournament. Guess who took home the trophy?
Wow.
Your boy. So the horseshoes dominated and the ladder toss was finished up near the top. So we had mixed doubles, and your boy coming home with the tiny dollar store trophy.
That's Are you sure this wasn't the kind of thing where everyone else is trying to let the kids do well and you were just taking it more serious than everyone else, hence the victory? Because I feel like that's got this written all over it.
Oh no, I didn't think of it that way. Crushed my spirit. No, this is adults. This is competition. Probably. Sure. I hope so. So backyard games, outdoor backyard summer game. That's where I'm going with all.
This is a great topic. I love it. All right.
Number 7, croquet. Ooh. Croquet can be kind of fun. You get to whack the balls around with a mallet, which is satisfying. But there's a couple shortcomings, and that is no lawn is ever smooth enough to make the balls go straight. Even if you hit a perfect shot, it's a lot of luck. And nobody remembers the rules. Okay, where do the wickets go? I got to hit who? Do I get two turns or one? So it's kind of fun, but it's always a little confusing. Cricket's number 7.
I'm not even sure there are rules.
Not cricket. Just croquet. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just the spikes in the balls. There are no rules.
Just go around, tap it around like a doofus. Okay.
Like a doofus.
Kind of on the same theme, we have number 6, and that is bocce. Bocce ball. Are you familiar with the lawn bowling? I feel like it's very Italian. Now, when I was out at California, we toured some vineyards, some wineries, I guess.
And they had the bougie one. Holy cow.
For sure. Now, they had like bocce ball courts, like lanes, and that was more fun. It was very satisfying. But the way we always play around here was like you toss the little ball wherever the heck you please, and you try to get it closest with the bocce ball. It's like kind of fun.
That's very accessible. Yeah, doesn't take rocket science to figure it out. Yeah,
it's very organic, the bocce around the backyard bocce. Number 5, I have wiffle ball. It's kind of fun. You need a lot of people, but you don't need gloves. You don't need too much equipment, but you need some. It takes some organization, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The wiffle ball. Like a good whiff.
Yeah. Number 4 is horseshoes. I love to throw the horseshoes. I have, you know, the backflip technique to get them to spin.
Of course
to hit
you
your ringer, you know. It's an old man sport. You know, it's been around since the dawn of time, the horseshoes. But it's kind of a pain to get a pit. You know, you got to pound the stick, you have some sand and a back stuff. There's kind of a lot involved with the horseshoes.
There's one big issue with horseshoes for me. Do you know what it is?
They're too heavy for your arms.
No, they make your hands filthy. Cannot stand that. I'd rather not
them
play
your shorts.
No,
playing
then
them
your
together.
Shorts are dirty.
Just clang the horseshoes together. Any dirt that remains after the clanging is fine.
No, it's not the dirt. It's like the metal ore or whatever. That's the rust that
the metal ore.
I'm not a scientist. You know that. I don't know. Anyway, hands are filthy. I'm not trying to live that life.
Clang them together. It's fine. Number 3, we have the washer toss. I feel like this is a relatively new innovation in backyard games. You have the box. And then in the middle, you have the cup, and then you toss the washers in. It's kind of fun, super simple. Any dope can play it. Little kids can play it. You toss the washers in the box.
Sounds fun.
Are you familiar? You're not familiar with the washers?
No, I've never seen that before. I'd like to,
though. It's a giggle.
Now I'm not so sure.
Number 2 is there's ladder ball. Also called bolo toss, or around here we call it Dutch nuts.
We call it.
Are you familiar with this game?
Hillbilly golf is what we call it. Yeah,
is that what you call it?
You try and get it to stick on one of the ladder things.
Yeah, you have a bolo. There's like two golf balls on each end of a rope, and you fling it, and it wraps around the shaft of the goal, around the ladder rung.
There we go. Yeah, it's fun.
It's a fun game. It's
harder than it looks, to be completely honest.
And you got to get a little lucky. The balls can sometimes clank in weird ways, but it's a fun game.
Yeah,
that's why it's number two, and I'm never wrong about rankings. Okay, number one, you got a guess?
My only guess left is bags/cornhole.
That's right. This is the premier, the prestige backyard game. I love to play some cornhole. And it's dead simple. You got the board, you got the bags. I feel like this is a modern iteration of lawn darts, horseshoes. Like, we've kind of settled on a more accessible, easy thing to do, and it's cornhole. I mean, it's even being shown on ESPN, and it's kind of a giggle. I like, you can play with one hand. Got beer in one hand.
Very, very important for lawn games, definitely.
This is, you know, your beverage of choice. Very important. And cornhole's fun. I like to play cornhole. That's number one.
Yeah.
Bottom three.
A worthy champion.
I think so, too. The three worst. Number three from the worst is can jam.
Really?
You throw a Frisbee through a slot. You know, I'm a Frisbee guy, but I just never have, you know, connected with the can jam game.
Right,
some people
enough.
Love it though.
It's low energy, which is something I'm always going.
You gotta like smack the Frisbee into the can, I guess.
Difficult. Yeah.
Anyway. Second from the worst I have, and this is going to get some dander up. Second from the worst I have spike ball. Are you familiar with spike ball?
I am. Yeah. All right, I'm curious your reasons.
You assemble your ring, and then you have some lopsided rubber ball that's never inflated right. And then you have this net, and you're supposed to slap the little ball in the net. I can never get the stupid ball to rebound off the net very well. It always just kind of on the net. People are constantly like palming the ball. You're supposed to tap it, but it looks like a lift every time. It just always looks like a mess to me. And maybe I just don't get the essence of the spike ball, but I'm not feeling it.
Two observations. One, it's basically bougie foursquare. And two, it takes so much effort. Like, people are running around and diving. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's not a beer in one hand. No,
that's not a beer in one hand.
I have no interest in sweating in a backyard lawn game. Not at all.
The worst outdoor lawn game is any board or inside game that has been giantized to play outside. You know, you see the giant Connect Four, you see the giant Yahtzee cubes, you see the 2x4 block Jenga. You know which one of those is good? No. None of them. They're all stupid. You're just coming out with some reason to do inside games outside. There's no innovation to these games. They're board games you're just doing outside. It's stupid. Stop with those. Play something a little more active. It's summer in Michigan. Soak it up while you can. We're going to be freezing our butts off in no time. Don't play those games. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Well said. Didn't see much on the side of the road this week. I did see two fellas, I would say maybe mid-20s, so definitely not kids, but were walking along the side of the road, both in like full-out basketball jerseys. One had a Kobe jersey, the other had a LeBron jersey.
Kobe.
Just bouncing the ball, like, you know, walking through the neighborhood. I was running up from behind them, and I was like, oh, there's some kids out, you know, playing basketball in their jerseys. Nope, fully grown adults. So that's basically.
Do you wear the basketball jersey? You seem like you could be a basketball jersey guy. You got the hats to go with it.
I'm a soccer jersey guy.
I don't really own any
basketball jerseys. I could see getting into it. Other than that, I don't really follow basketball. Yeah,
right.
Soccer jerseys. Speaking of soccer, have you guys done Ted Lasso?
Yeah, I just last night or a couple nights ago, it's hard to get into my viewing schedule, right? There's so much going on. But I did take in the first episode of season two of Ted Lasso. It's going to be hard to beat season one. And season two already, I'm maybe just because my expectations are so high, but it wasn't quite the same, but I'm hopeful yet.
I don't know. When I tweeted this out, but when Danny Rojas suggests that he learned that football is life and football is death and football is football, but mostly football is life. That was one of the best moments from the show, just top to bottom. I thoroughly enjoyed that whole bit.
That moment was good. Football is also death. It's very, very philosophical. I did like that. Yes.
All right. Twitter questions.
Where are we doing? Oh. Twitter questions. Yeah. Is that where we're heading? Okay.
Where we're heading.
We got a direct traffic here. Okay. JP Skronik asks, if Comerico is going to put up milestone trackers in left field for each of you, what milestone would they be tracking?
Oh, that's a good question.
Power ranking categories, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like I would probably go with flat bill hats, which, although I don't know that I necessarily want that number publicized. It's much higher than any one adult man should have.
Do you have more than 40 hats?
Probably.
Okay.
I haven't counted in quite some time for that exact reason.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, Jacob. Or Jake. I think it's Jake. Nick Alampy. Nick. Nick Alampy, Alampy underscore 24 asks, who do you want the team to realistically go after this offseason?
Well, I was looking at this one by position. I think we need a long-term shortstop. I would love to see them go after Carlos Correa. I feel like he's been the big one that's been linked with us. Like, Seager is probably going to re-sign with the Dodgers, and even if he didn't, he'd be out of our price range. We're not going to get Trevor Story. Correa kind of seems like the one that might fall in our laps. I would like to see him. Like, I think he's a good player. I can see Brandon Crawford being a fill-in for a couple of years. He's having a good year, left-handed bat. I also think we're gonna need a left-handed corner infielder / DH. I can see Brandon Belt being a decent option there, low cost. And then there's a couple
you
guys.
You have done your homework.
This was an easy one to do homework on, and I enjoy speculating as far as who we're gonna sign. Starting pitching, we're gonna need somebody next year to at least
just
try and
innings,
fill the Urania role. Eduardo Rodriguez from the Red Sox is a free agent. I suspect he will cost more than we are willing to spend. But two guys that I've loved forever, Danny Duffy and Charlie Morton, is going to be a free agent.
If
he doesn't retire, I would love to see him. I mean, he's boys with AJ. They won a World Series.
He's kind
together.
Of a fossil, isn't he, though?
He's had a good year. He's had a great last 5 years. So anyway. Those are the guys I want. Anyone specifically that you want?
There you have it, Nick A. No, I don't know. I don't care. Correa would be the only guy I know about. Peter the Third at Pete underscore the Third. Unless it's ill, I can't tell. Where would you most like to see Isak Paredes and Spencer Torkelson play in the infield?
I mean, I guess
I like Paredes at second, actually, a little bit.
And I mean, in an ideal world, Torkelson would play third. Like, that's far more valuable.
No,
I don't know. I don't know that I see that.
In an ideal world, Torkelson would play first.
Why? If you could, if you have a first baseman that can play third, that's infinitely more valuable. Anybody can play
because first. Candelario is a much better third baseman.
Is he? And will he be there?
I don't know. Cool. I'm assuming.
We'll see.
So Paredes plays you a serviceable infield, but he's probably not going to bring a lot of range. That's why I like him at second. I think he'd be fine.
Yeah, definitely.
Depends what, you know, scope. Well, you know, it all depends.
Yeah, I mean, scope has been what Paredes is at second base for many, many years and has been perfectly fine.
That's true. Paredes hopes he can be scope someday. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Pete also asks, what's the biggest obstacle for the owners and players union while they are working on a CBA? You want to talk labor relations here, Paul?
This
is a good question for our boy Tiger Dog Patrick.
Pete, I think you've mixed us up for intelligent people. I have nothing to add to that conversation.
Jesse Thomason asks, what are the best pants to wear with a jersey? You're wearing a soccer jersey, you're wearing a baseball jersey. What are you having on the lower half, Paul?
Shorts. Always shorts. Anytime I get away with shorts and not. Yeah, definitely. Specifically like your kind of classic khaki color. It goes with everything.
That's true. I'm going with that. Not the jean shorts, but just brown shorts.
Not the jean shorts?
Jorts. And preferably, you know, I know I'm of dad vintage, but I no longer rock the cargo shorts.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I'm
a little fancier than that.
Have you or have you not worn jean shorts in the last 12 months?
No, I don't. I haven't owned a pair in a decade. Two decades.
All right. I'll give you credit.
A pair of blue ones, but they're not.
I mean, that's a different thing. Yeah.
Okay. Dan Kelly, not to be confused with Don Kelly, at Tiger Fan Dan, asks, give us a free agent signing this winter that we didn't see coming. We had about realistic and now we didn't see coming. Who wouldn't you see coming? I don't even know what free agents there are. I'm
basically any of the top guys.
any big ones, right?
Yeah.
Can't afford. Let's see what we have. Paul Robinson at Robo1701A. How long before Arby's
specific handle?
You need to get a hold of Paul. I thought I'd read the entire name. Is there B and C then too? Maybe.
I hope so.
He asks, how long before Arby's change back to 3 home runs for a small curly fries? Is it what, three runs now, right?
You can get curly fries? I mean, I feel like this is more down to Arby's and not down to the Tigers. Like, I mean, if you're giving away at 3 runs, like that's, you're just trying to get people in the door, which makes sense because Arby's is terrible. So, hot take.
Here's another conspiracy theory I have. You don't need to like, in most Arby's restaurants, are they like fact checking any of this? You can just go in and say, the Tigers did such and such a thing. I'm here for my free curly fries. You're going to be able to get them. Do you think?
I 100% also, like, agree. Go ahead.
How many of the workers are checking the previous night's box score or care?
I'm going to go on a limb and say it's zero. Small.
Yeah. For everybody out there, send us your stories of trying to get curly fries when it's a non-curly fry day. I want to see how this goes. I think you'll have no problems. It's one curly fries, Michael. What could it cost? $10. One quote, I know. At Slugwizzy asks, seems like a lot of Tigers fans want to see the team sign a big money shortstop for 2022. Is this a good idea? Why or why not? Okay, Correa, is it a good idea to sign him?
It is a good idea because there's no one coming up in the immediate future to fill that hole.
So that would be the sensical position. And there's a lot of shortstops. And okay, in the first year of his free agent contract, we're still not that real good. We're going to need to sign him to what? A six-year deal?
Yeah.
Okay, we better hope that those years are good. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, right? Definitely. He could be the Pudge or the Maglio.
Robert Baker asked at Kerba 1123, which team is closer to the 2021 Tigers? The one that swept the Rangers and Twins out of the break or the one that lost the last 4? I kind of answered this already.
Also, I think it's both. I don't think there is an answer because I think the team is beat the crap out of the Rangers 4 straight times good and can have an ugly series against the Royals bad, if that makes sense.
I feel like we're catching up to the league a little bit. Before, it felt like everybody else was playing in a different dimension. And now there's more teams that were like, okay, we're just as good as these chumps.
Or better, which is in some cases. Thing. Yeah, it's nice.
Pizza Slayer at jslaw0809 asks, if Chris Fetter successfully taught Jeremy Bonderman a changeup, do you think would take his hat off and say, I'm done, there's nothing left for me to do? Teaching Bonderman the changeup is kind of like hitting a two iron. Not even God Almighty can do it. All right. So if Chris Fetter can teach Bonderman a changeup, yes, that would be, he would be godly. He would be.
I think immortal. If he could teach Bonderman just about anything, with all due respect to Bondo.
Poor Jeremy. He's a butt of more jokes. I tell you what, I feel, I love you, Jeremy.
Do you though?
Don't listen to him. Savage. Jed at Tigers JUK, the one of the Reyes tattoo fame, asks, would Gregory Soto have retired David Ortiz? Oh, too
without
soon.
It, without a doubt. No doubt
too
about it.
Too soon.
Honestly, okay. Listen, if Benoit though. Had gotten the strike call he deserved, he would have gotten David yeah. Ortiz out, and this whole thing would have been different. But
so, soon. Benoit, we forget, was dynamite that year. I mean, he was reliable. He had a track record. There was no question. I mean, Benoit was the guy you kind of wanted. But Soto has more stuff than Benoit did at the time by a lot, stuff-wise. Soto's like stuff is dynamite.
Incredible. I feel like the thing that we forget about that, the Benoit stuff, is that was the eighth inning. If we had made it to the ninth, Valverde would have blown the game anyway. Like, I don't, let's be honest. If it didn't happen then, it would have happened 20 minutes later. So
listen, I tried to purge my brain of a lot of that game. It's just too painful. It's so sad. Speaking of Patrick, my boy at TigerDog_1, Patrick asks, when do we get more flow charts? And that's, I used to make a lot of flow charts, and the problem with that is I'm kind of lazy, and I do other kinds of work, believe it or not. So yeah, if I had a bounty of free time, I would make more flow charts, but they're a little bit of work. So
you don't want to get pigeonholed in as the flow chart guy.
The flow chart guy.
Yeah, although we might be,
I hate to be stereotyped, class. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I owe you collectively, Tigers Twitter, another flow chart. I'm a year or two behind. So sorry. Pandemic hit and I was not feeling it, evidently. Dave Fleece asks, in a perfect world, what does this year's offseason look like?
Coaching stability. Sign Carlos Correa.
In a perfect world,
I guess
Turnbull was misdiagnosed. It turns out his arm ligaments are fine.
Yeah, I take that.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
I don't know. You don't want to get too greedy, but assigning a free agent would be nice.
Yeah, maybe a multi-year one, just for fun.
Like a good one, right? It's exciting that Grossman's back next year. I feel like
unnecessary really dig at my boy Robbie saying, oh, good
yeah.
one. Robbie is the man.
Yeah, can't spell BB without, wait a minute. Can't spell Robbie without BB.
There we go.
Base on balls. There it is.
You got there.
It's been a messy week. Anthony Troya at @ant_Troya, also known by Troya Juan Kenobi.
Of course.
Do you think the Tigers will sell Grossman and Scope, or maybe one? I don't think they moved Grossman. Do you?
I don't think so either. We kind of discussed Scope. It's all going to depend on what.
We kind of discussed Scope. So. Yeah. That's it. That's all the Twitter questions. They're good, which they should be. You had 3 weeks to work on them, people. They should be good.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me. I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, the Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you.
Thank you.
To be fair, I did ask for questions before the Moots show, but I did it like 25 minutes before we started recording, so I did not give people enough time. It was one of those, I was filling up with gas at Costco. I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh,
I
yeah.
didn't ask for Twitter
That's
questions.
Usually my job, so yeah. Just so you people know, I always ask for Twitter questions, but Jordan always has to tell me to do it.
You did it on your own today, I think.
Did I?
I think so.
Yeah, after you reminded me yesterday.
Yeah.
Baby steps. You don't care about any of this. Anyway, thank you, questioners. I'm proud
of you. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter and Instagram, I am at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain, and the show is at Podcastianos. As always, the show is sponsored by Moots Pizzeria and Bar in beautiful downtown Detroit. Eric, it's good to have you back beneath the bridge. You are officially a troll again, as the kids say. Glad that you survived, and not only survived, but actually it sounds like you dominated that family vacation. Just delivering injuries to all the children, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
The trick is to have very incapable family, I guess. That's the key. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
The final last words, honorable mention for Backyard Games. The hook swing thing, the tiki toss, that's kind of a... And also, have you heard of Cube or Cub?
No.
Cube. You throw sticks at like planks that are setting up in the yard. Also, I'm kind of intrigued by this game where you pound nails into like a piece of wood.
That but sounds I don't like know just enough work, about those. Right? Is it just construction sites?
Well, now that you put it that way. Yeah, it does sound like work. Anyway, so those are my two research backyard games.
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.